38:18. And let's try to study some of this for fun. Enjoy ourselves. Enjoy the Bible. Enjoy ideas. Years ago, the public schools only taught creationism, and the ACLU and company sued and said it's bigotry to only teach one theory. So what did they do? They kicked out creationism and taught evolution, which is bigotry. They ought to teach both. Teach them both. Look at them both scientifically. And, of course, how can you look at somebody scientifically with that on your head? So, okay, let's see if the Lord can guide us. Lord, thank you for your words. And I do pray and ask you to help us see, help us to be in awe of the Bible. And help us to also research this out for fun and see what the Bible says. Try to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll start with Job 38. You do have a detailed outline. Okay. Job 38:18. We can all agree on this. Whether you believe the earth is a sphere or a circle, and then we'll try to answer. But I don't know how far I want to go into this because we could really take a lot of time. If we're enjoying it, we can go further. Job 38, verse 18. This is a question God posed a bunch of questions to Job. And he said, hey, Job, hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Outline? Need an outline. There you go. Oh, here's a bunch right here. He said, Job, do you ever see the whole thing? You ever see the whole thing? And of course, we know the answer is no. Who has seen the entire earth? Nobody. You say NASA, well, we might get into that, but nobody has. So we take information, and if we do limit ourselves to our five senses, which is science, okay, and then the Bible, we might discover something a little bit different. Okay? We might. But it's not going to change my relationship with anybody. Okay? I'm not going to think anybody's got a tin hat. I guess I do see some with tin hats. Okay? But we're going to enjoy the idea of studying. Okay? And so Job 38. Now, anybody know what the word today is for breadth? Width. The definition for breadth is side to side. Side to side. Breath. Side to side. They're just little ideas, just something to consider. So that's where we're at. And our choices, usually in a debate, you have two choices. Okay, so This is, there it is. Okay, this is one choice. Okay, that's one choice. It's coming. That's one choice. There we go. Okay, so that's one choice. That's what we've all been taught in school. So my question is, when was heaven and earth created? Genesis 1:1. When was the sun created? Genesis 1:16, 17, 18. So what did the earth spin around before the sun showed up? The earth maybe twiddled its thumb. Now we got one thumb in Michigan. I don't know where the other thumb's at. I don't know, just a thought. So what was going on with the earth when there was no sun to magically grab it by gravity like that and travel at 500,000 miles an hour through the galaxy? Okay, that's one viewpoint. Okay, the other viewpoint, which a lot of times people don't realize that, There is another alternative viewpoint, and it's, okay, this is NASA's, and NASA admits, they've admitted, these are CGI, computer-generated images. They admit that, so we'll take their testimony. So they're saying that. This is the flattened portion where they say they're trying to flattening a sphere. So that's obviously going to be very difficult to do. You have different choices. This is a flattened one where they put the Antarctica in the corners. Okay, this one right here. Oops. Okay, this one is called an azimuthal equal distant map. This is what United States Geological Survey uses. Now, what's difficult about this, where it looks like the United States is, these are the same land mass, but it looks really odd. But the reason why is each of those squares there is equal to this little square here. So that's what kind of makes it look odd, but yet if you look at the squares, it is according to the geography, I guess you could say. Here is an example of what the ancient Hebrews believed. I found in a museum a DVD put out by Moses, and he had one of these on there. So good old Moses. His brother was Larry and Curly, but no, Larry was a cousin. Okay, this is what ancient Hebrews depicted the universe. So they had a firmament. They had Earth as a circular, in a circle. The mountains, obviously. They called the word Sheol, but we would say hell, or Abraham's bosom. Pillars coming down here. The great deep down here, bottomless. Okay, that's what have been Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, okay? And also Martin Luther, the great reformer, taught this. John Calvin taught this. I can show you their wordings on that. Because in Martin Luther's day is when the first globe came into creation by Copernicus. And a Jesuit priest encouraged Copernicus to publish this information, and Martin Luther was adamantly opposed to it, as were the Protestants of his day. This is the history we've not been told about at all, for sure. This is a map, okay, standard map of the world. Gleason's, he says it is as is. He has here how the sun rotates, how the moon and sun rotate depending on the year. Now, this round part here would be Antarctica, if that's correct. I'm saying if it's correct. None of us have seen the whole thing. And Antarctica, I have pictures of that, would not be an Antarctic circle. We might get into that if we want to. It's an ice wall that holds the water in. That's the idea. That's a theory. This is a theory. The sphere is a theory. So we have two theories we're going to look at. You can see that this is like the North Pole would be there, South Pole here. So you travel this way north, this way south, this way east, this way west. Okay, that's the idea of that map. There's a man in South Dakota. This is 1800. This is a man in South Dakota. Hot Springs, South Dakota, 1880s, in that range. The Bible, remember, the Bible does say four corners of the earth. So he threw this idea in here. But then he makes it like conclave. I don't know if he didn't figure out Antarctica. Maybe he's got ice there. So these are the scriptures, 300 to 400 scriptures. We've got a lot of scriptures on these things. Just to throw out the idea, the possibility. You know, again, it's kind of unusual, some things that we can learn. This is a different sort of a photo or a drawing of it. Let me get back in here. Let me show you other ancient civilizations. Okay, other ancient civilizations, what they taught, what they thought the world looked like. Okay, there we can see the curve is real curvy, but come on. I thought I had it in the right place. Keep going. There we go. Okay, this is what Egyptians had. This is what the Norse had. So they had a circle. They had a dome. Hindu have this. They got the earth. They've got, you know, where they get the turtle, I don't know. This is the Mayans. Mayans got their pyramid. The Mayans were pretty well Satanist. But still they had this part. They had a dome. The Hebrews saw that. The Greeks, that would be Plato, Socrates. Okay, at the same time as a guy named Pythagoras. Okay, he came up possibly, but it didn't go anywhere until Copernicus in around 1500. So you got this one, the Navajo, the Indians, and Plaquet. I don't know what that one is. Okay, so that was their different viewpoints. Were all these people nuts? Okay, and all those things. And so these were different viewpoints, different cultures had. Okay, now when America did have science, here's a popular science magazine. I wish I paid 25 cents for it, but I didn't. 1931. Okay, this is older than anybody in this room. A guy named August Picard was known for high balloon research. So he made an aluminum ball and attached a large balloon with hot air in it. He went straight up 10 miles, and it was amazing that he got back down. But he went up over 10 miles, and he wrote this. When he looked out the window, it seemed a flat disc with upturned edge. That's what he thought it looked like. But again, that's hearsay. That's not my own personal study. I have no intentions of going up that high. But been in many airplanes, and so far what I've seen is not what I've been taught. So, on your outline, there's a fellow named Arthur Schopenhauer, good old German. He said this: all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, is accepted as self-evident. Many years ago, when I was down in Rensselaer, I wrote Dr. Ruckman, and I said, how do you witness to a bunch of Catholics in a city full of Catholics? Well, he gave the suggestion. He said this: you'll see first that they get mad. Second, they get scared. Third, they get saved. Now, this man had these three steps. I have divided the third step into three parts. Okay, I would say, first, it might be ignored and ridiculed. I did that on this idea. I did that. I thought it was stupid. Okay, and then some will arrogantly oppose it or violently oppose. I just ignored it for a while. And then I thought, hey, that's kind of fun. Let's go ahead and let's take a little hobby and look at it. Okay, then, and I find it interesting, Nicodemus is found three times in the Gospel of John, according to John. And the first time he quietly wondered about Jesus Christ. He came to him at nighttime. The second time, he was really considering it. He was almost kind of defending him in a meeting with the Pharisees. Third time he comes out. He accepts Jesus at the resurrection. Okay, and helped take care of his body and everything. Now, what Elijah did is he offered two options. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And so the two opinions we have is the heliocentric model that we've all been taught, we've all believed, I believe for long, you know, all those years. And then there's another model that I didn't know anything about. from this model of that circular disc with a dome over top of it has been taught for 5,500 years. So from the creation until around 1500 BC or AD, then the globe was introduced. We would tend to think, wow, that goes all the way back. A lot far. No, it was just around 1500 when it was introduced by Copernicus. And then he was encouraged by the Jesuit priest to publish this and let it be known. Okay, and that's how it began to get out. Okay, and then some really dark things started happening in American culture around 1950, and really surprising things, what the powers that be were trying to overthrow God. Okay, and that goes back to Babylon. So I got circular maps. Okay, circular maps. I got some more on here. I think I did the circular maps. United Nations. Not that I like the United Nations. Look what map they got. Now, they divide it in 33 sections. We know why, don't we? 33rd degree Masons. Okay, so that's what they thought. Or actually, they're hiding something in plain sight. There's what John Calvin wrote. I underline it. They will say that the sun does not move and that the earth which shifts and turns. So John Calvin was strongly opposed to it. Here's what Martin Luther said. There is talk of a new astrologer who wants to prove that the earth moves and goes around instead of the sky, the sun, and moon. That would have been Copernicus. He would have been their contemporary. Okay, here's a newspaper article. No, not that one. That is not a newspaper article. This is a newspaper article. Right. They're going to read that. Okay. Says Earth is round. This teacher was teaching this in 1900 in England, and somebody wanted to sue him and charge him with a crime. And so this is the news article that they actually wrote. The guy should be imprisoned in this heretical doctrine. And I'm like, what's the big deal? But again, that occurred in 1900, April of 1900. So those are just different ideas. English words are amazing if we look at English words. A lot of times the definition of the word is right in the word itself. Okay, and so let's go back to Genesis 1 and we'll look at some of these words. Hey, no more hats. Oh, still got one. His looks like a little Mennonite woman's hat. You know, they got that little beanie. Okay, Genesis 1, verse 1. Okay, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. Okay, so that statement where it appears to me that Satan ruled, Lucifer ruled the world, destroyed it, God flooded it. So you got maybe a couple thousand years in there. And then it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, now we read a phrase, the face of. Right in front of us, the face of. Now I looked up the face of. This is an advantage of a computer program like Sword Searcher. So what I've given you is, so we don't have to take all the time, and I've given a lot of scripture there. Job 38, verse 30 says, the face of the deep is frozen. Face of the deep is frozen. The word the deep occurs 31 times in the Bible, and you got to go through them. Some of them refer to the entire container. Some refer to the ocean. So you got to kind of look at the context. The face of the deep is frozen. Okay, the highlighted ones are ones I want to look at. I darken those, so I say, I'm telling myself when I bolden, I said, first off, it's a variety. It looks nice. The notes look nice and organized. Okay, but it's saying, hey, ding dong, read this one. Okay, that's the ding dong, meaning me, ding dong. I used to write notes on my notes up here to myself. I'd say, articulate, stupid. I'd write that on there, make sure I was talking good and all that stuff. Okay, Proverbs 8, we read through this one when I went through, in the beginning, God created. Proverbs 8:27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. We know what a compass is, don't we? Here's a compass. Okay, and a compass is... So if I say the face of the compass, okay, and so this is pointing magnetic north. So that to me, that's a hint, a compass. And there's the face of the depth, the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, there's that there. When he gave this to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Okay, so, face of the waters, face of the deep, face of the ground, face of the earth. All in parentheses is how many times that's found in the Bible. Face of the whole earth. Okay, in bolden, we know that none of us have firsthand knowledge. That's what Paul said to Job. So we'll just try to figure it out. Breath, there's the definition. I found that off my computer. And then it says God moves in the circuit of heaven. Circuit of heaven. Job 22:14. I find that all interesting to me. Now, in your mind's eye, if we close our eyes and think, Genesis 1:2, when the water covered the earth, in my mind, what can we see? Can you see a ball with water all around it, where the water is magically attached to the ball? Or can you see water in the... in a natural scientific element, water always seeks its own level. These ideas I'm just throwing out what the Bible says. Okay, if we want to go with that, fine and dandy. If it's not going to change my belief in Jesus Christ at all, okay, my belief in the final authority at all. Let's see. Job 26:10. A lot of this you find out of Job, because remember, Job is probably the closest Bible or book to the flood. Noah's flood. Job 26:10. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. So there's a boundary around the water. It's compassed within. And that would kind of give a little credence to the idea that the Antarctica is around the circumference of the circle. Now, if you have somebody that you would like to get rid of, just ask them to go to Antarctica and prove some of these things for me. Don't ask the military. Just go. Please go. They will not come back. Because you can't. You cannot go to Antarctica as an independent researcher and study. It's just not allowed. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason. Okay, now I want to go to the English words. Okay, where's my cat finder? My cat toy. Oh, no. Okay, just have to look at them. English words, Genesis. I guess that's okay. There it is. Genesis, gene. Generation, genealogy, genes, generate, genius, exodus, you're exiting something, kin to exile, expel, execute. Leviticus, Levi. Leviticus is the handbook of the tribe of Levi. Imputation, big word. What's it mean? Inside there's the word put. Predestination, big word. Calvinists have a lot of fun with that one. What is it? It's just a destination beforehand. No big deal. Level. That word looks funny to me. Level. It's level in the middle. It's got two boundaries on the end. Holding even in the middle. I don't know. Horizon. When we look at the horizon, everywhere you go, no matter how high you go, the horizon always comes at eye level. Always does. In airplanes, it doesn't. Horizon. It's from horizontal, parallel to the plane of the horizon. A synonym of horizon or horizontal, level, flat, plain, smooth. Interesting. An airplane is a bus that travels in the air over a plane. I don't know, something to think about. I've seen them call them Airbus. Planets. Planet, the first five letters of the plane. The planets in the Bible, that's the only occurrence, actually refers to stars. Planetarium, there's one up in Chicago. What's a planetarium? It's a building with images of stars projected on a dome ceiling. Last time I went to one, I fell asleep in it. It was kind of comfortable. Okay, a circuit's like a circle. A compass is like a drawing. A compass is used to draw circles. A compass is an instrument containing a magnetic pointer, which shows the direction of magnetic north. Face is the front of a person's head. Face is the surface of an object. Okay, that if we just go with the English language. Firmament. Something firm. So let's go down to Genesis 1:6 and work on that a little bit. Genesis 1:6. So this is where God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. Okay, firmament. Now, the Institute of Creation Research. Anybody remember that? Institute of Creation Research. Henry Morris. Okay, they used to teach that the earth had a canopy around it. And I thought that was a pretty logical conclusion. Canopy. They do the sphere idea. Okay, so they say a canopy is around it. And as a result of the flood, I guess the canopy went away. Or maybe that was the water. Okay, now this firmament, if it is a dome, okay, if it's like this, and then you take a bowl over top, that's what I used in Australia when they asked me, had a bowl over top, and the firmament is something firm, like a dome stadium. If you open up the windows, what happens? Genesis 8:2. Water comes down. Genesis 8, verse 2. When you open the windows of heaven, water comes down. Okay, so I guarantee this is going to be the most convincing proof of all. Now, is that not proof? Oh, man. That's got to be convincing. Right. I don't watch that show, but that is a funny clip. Okay. This is a whole, I don't know if I want to listen to it. It's a fella that was asked to do a study in Antarctica. and they had to go through security clearance and everything. And then he was afraid to give a story out. So he's describing when he was asked to be a part of this project, when they had these men in the room, he said that the instructor said, "Now, you fellows are going to be surprised, but you're going to discover the earth is flat." And they all laughed at him. And so then he was chosen to go down to the Antarctica. And those walls, that's 150 to almost 200 feet high.
This gentleman is asking for assistance from material scientists in order to validate a sample that he has kept from his travels. I have seen the ice wall from email redacted to flat water, flat earth. Hello, my name is David, and I am a witness to the ice wall. Since the unaltered facts described below could be used to ascertain my identity, I have changed certain details to protect against that danger. My background is a bit unusual. I graduated summa cum laude with degrees in economics and population studies, and later earned a Juris Doctorate from an Ivy League school. So what does one do with that kind of educational hodgepodge? I worked for a Fortune 500 company where I worked on, and later supervised, a team responsible for finding economically viable means to move product to and through some of the world's most remote and inhospitable locations. Some of the drops, as we called them, required creative solutions. Barriers to entry included everything like unreliable transportation channels and personnel, local warlords and pirates, local corruption and legal issues, adverse weather conditions, hazardous terrain, and basically every obstacle that you can imagine. In 2005, still relatively young, and almost 30, and having a taste for adventure, I applied for work at what was advertised to be a minimum 3-year assignment at an Antarctic research post. The job for which I applied was a human resources type job, and they were keen for someone with experience in the shipping industry. It wasn't a terrific fit for my experience and skill set, but it was close enough that I gave it a shot. I didn't hear anything back for 6 months after applying, and almost forgot about the application when I was contacted by someone who identified themselves as being from the U.S. Department of Defense, and asked if I would be interested in consideration for something else. They told me that the work would still be in Antarctica, and that it would be a better match for my skill set. I was interested, so I sent them a packet of information they requested that was the size of a small phone book and submitted to a single-scope background investigation. I was eventually cleared, contracted, and told that I would be support for a team that is searching for microbes in hard-to-reach places. In 2006, I arrived in Springfield, Virginia for a pre-departure briefing. Entry required going through 4 checkpoints and a half dozen pat-downs. There was a heavy military presence even inside the building, and I was escorted at all times. I can still remember the smell of the corridor as I walked down it at 07:30 to the briefing room. I entered the room where one other fellow was already seated at a large round table, a man named Mike. Mike was approximately my age. He had a MS in mechanical engineering, and his expertise was in bodysuit temperature regulation. If you needed to send someone into a sub-zero environment without them turning into an icicle, Mike was your guy. Other people started to come in and the seats eventually filled, 15 in all. 14 of us were male, and all of us approximately the same age. 10 of us were military or ex-military. Everyone's background was consistent with what you would expect from a team assembled for the purpose of performing a scientific exploration of Antarctica. I would later get to know all of these people well and consider many of them to be fine individuals. At 0800, everyone had helped themselves to the instant coffee left for us. A middle-aged gentleman, Tom, walked in and introduced himself as our project leader. Tom started by saying he had read each of our files and was so grateful for us taking this assignment. Yada yada. He then started a slideshow presentation. Slide 1 read, Project Copernicus, the name of our assignment. The slideshow illustrated some of the early days of the project. We were one of 6 teams working under a task force, ultimately under the authority of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. He then asked the questions, why does an Antarctic research mission require its personnel to have top secret clearance? Anyone? In what was probably the first indicator that I was the troublemaker of the group, I answered, it doesn't. Tom darted his eyes at me with a bit of surprise in his expression, as though it was crossing his mind that I already knew what was coming next. But he continued, why would the teams working on such an assignment be compartmentalized? Why would its members be chosen individually instead of corporately? What does Antarctic exploration have to do with the security of the United States? Nobody answered. These questions had all crossed our minds, and we expected to eventually get answers, but we didn't expect to get asked those very questions from the man under whom we would be working. The answer, he said, with some pause for drama, is that we're not here to explore the Antarctica that you studied in grade school. More pause for drama. I'm sure he was enjoying it. We're here to explore the real Antarctica. Tom flipped to the next slide, a map of a flat Earth, and the words, "The Earth is flat," I laughed. In my mind, others laughed as well, but I can't say whether I merely projected my amusement on them, or whether they were actually laughing as well. Tom clearly anticipated our reaction. Without a word, he flipped to the next slide, a photo of a battleship alongside an ice wall that dwarfed it by comparison. Next slide, a photo taken from approximately a mile in air, ocean at bottom against the ice wall, followed by an incredible empty vastness that eventually disappeared into darkness. Next came a video. It was a heavily bundled Tom, though a bit younger, walking...
Okay, there's more on that. Isn't that interesting? Now, again, that's not first-hand knowledge for me. That's that guy's experience. If it was true, I'm not saying he's a liar, but still, I find it interesting. If you would, Psalm 19. Okay, so we have the firmament divides waters from waters. In Genesis 8 and in Genesis 7, when the waters of that when the windows of that firmament open, waters come down. Psalm 19. This is the only time the word firmament is found in Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech, nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Okay, end of the world. End of the earth is found 41 times in the Bible. Ends of the earth. If this is the North Pole and this is the South Pole, where would the ends of this be? I really don't know. Okay, on this one, where would the ends be? I would say it's the edge. Okay, if that's what it is. But he says the ends of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. Circuit, circular. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. We might go into that another time. What's above the firmament? Okay, this is, I'm always kind of amazed how the Lord leads things. We went through Ezekiel last week, Ezekiel 1. And in 1:26, it says there's a throne above the firmament. So is that like the Lord's looking at us like he's looking through at a fishbowl? Because he's interested in what's going on the earth. Is that us looking through a glass darkly? I'm just throwing these things out there. Fishbowl, interesting. I might go to this. This was a topic in 1961 and 62. The military, United States and Russia, sent up nuclear warheads 31 times. Straight up. In the middle of the night, trying to destroy that dome. And couldn't do it. Why would you have military operations sending nuclear warheads straight up? And there's more to it that led up to that. And then that led into the imaginary space race. And the whole idea is just to Genesis chapter 11, where somebody wants to get at God. Because above that firmament's the throne of God. Okay, that's, again, a person could say, well, those are figurative things. And I agree, there are some figurative things, a lot of figurative things in the Bible. Okay, and so as far as the Lord, working on your spirit, let me show you one, Isaiah 40, verse 20. This is my first objection when I came across the possibility of this idea. My first objection. Isaiah 40, verse 22. Boom. Right off the bat. Oh, I said, no way, impossible. So he says, he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And that's God speaking. So right then when I said, oh, see, it's a circle. Yeah, but you've all testified that's a circle. That's a sphere. That's the only time the word circle is found in the Bible. But really what got me is the second half of the verse. I kept thinking of the first half. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. I know what that is. I've done that many times. And I looked at that and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I can't imagine stretching a tent around this. I can't imagine stretching a tent over this. I can't imagine that. Now, if a person says, well, circle there means ball. Okay, if it would have meant ball, I think Isaiah would have used the word ball. The word ball is found once in the Bible, and guess who used it? Isaiah. Isaiah 22, verse 18. He knew what a ball was. And this is a good verse on describing football. It sounds like a guy's getting tackled in a field. Isaiah 22, and the Lord's using that as a judgment. He says, behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There thou shalt die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thine Lord's house, and I will drive thee from the station, from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. I wish there was a football player, when he gets on that tackling dummy, and he's pushing it, and the coach is yelling at him, drive, 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 that he would stop and say, why are you quoting the Bible to me? Show him Isaiah 22, because that's what they say, drive. Football coaches don't know that. Okay, on your outline, to save time, if you want to look at it, God said he spreadeth a ball, referring to the heaven, those Isaiah 44. And then the other one, he stretched. Stretched the heavens. And then look at all those verses. And he said, the sky is a molten looking glass. Job 37, verse 8. A molten looking glass. That sounds like, that might be a firmament. And so waters, when the windows of heaven are open, fell. Now, we've got that proved, Bart Simpson. I mean, they showed it on that cartoon. Stephen King wrote a series of books called Under the Dome. I think there's a TV series called Under the Dome. Okay, and August Picard, I mentioned him. There's a Star Trek character. I never liked Star Trek growing up. I thought that's so fakey. But one of their characters is based after August Picard. That's the one that went up in the aluminum capsule. And he's the one that described this in 1931, Popular Science, August. He described what he saw. Okay, and so, oh, that's enough. Did I put on your outline about the sailing around the waters? Okay. Okay, scientists tell us it's the Antarctic Circle. And they say the circumference of the Antarctic Circle at the bottom of the world is 14,000 miles, nautical miles. Okay, so 14,000. Captain Cook, in 1773 to 1776, it was a three-year journey, sailed around Antarctica, and he sailed for 60,000 miles. Could not find an inlet anywhere. Should have been 14,000. Okay, 70 years later, James Clark Ross and his crew sailed two heavily armored warships, 3 years, sailed 3 years, and he said the wall extended between 150 and 200 feet above sea level, perfectly flat and level at the top without any fissures. In 1872 to 1876, the British ship Challenger completed the circuit of Antarctica, and they traveled 69,000 miles. So somebody's maps are wrong. Either he got confused and went around that thing three or four times on the bottom, or it is the circumference. Okay, that's from their testimony. Admiral Byrd, I think some of you remember Admiral Byrd. Better remember Admiral Byrd? He is very key in this, and I might go through some things that he talks about. So, do I have on there stationary letter C for the outline? See, I've got little added notes in here. I'm not giving everything out here. So, the theory, okay, one theory is it's spinning and traveling around the sun through the galaxy. Okay, that's one theory. The other theory is it's stationary, has foundations, it has pillars, it's got a dome over top of it, below it, underneath of it, the nether parts, dungeons, prisons, where in the Ten Commandments it says under the earth. So that's another theory. So we have two theories, and it's called the place of the earth, not the path of the earth. So next week I'm going to give you a test and a homework, and we're going to have to memorize all those scripture references. No, it's just for fun. Just enjoy the Bible. Enjoy the Bible. And whether a person is not, if your spirit is not fully persuaded, don't worry about it. And if you want to study it further, have fun doing it. Have fun researching. Okay? I'm not going to go out here and put on a sign, "Earth is flat." Why? That'd be dumb. Put the gospel on there. Put something else out there. Okay? And footstool. What I always thought, footstool. I'm not being irreverent of God, but you know what a footstool is. But what if God is looking down at the inhabitants of the earth and he just thought, I think I'm going to sit back and put my foot on top of the dome. He can't do that on a spinning ball. It'd be like... I mean, he could put it on and just kind of enjoy. I'm not being irreverent of God, but he does call it a footstool three times. And so just ideas throw out there. I think I gave enough. And I didn't even look at all the highlighted bold ones. But there's a lot to it for fun. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for all these tin hats we had out here. And I'm just kind of disappointed the tin man didn't show up. But Lord, I do pray you just help us to love your word. And I pray that if this is something that we can look at both theories, both ideas, don't worry about it because nobody's ever really seen it except for thee. And you look at it because you're interested in us. We thank you for that. I'm glad I'm not an accidental, by chance, from a Big Bang 20 million, billion years ago. I'm so glad. I mean, so much more to you than that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.